Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We're going to pick up here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We've finally made it down to the last verse of the chapter, verse number 10, which says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, when you read through the book of 1 Thessalonians, what you see happen is that at the end of each of the first four chapters and for the beginning part of chapter number 5, you see the Apostle Paul makes references to an event that is really the scriptures will identify as being the catching out of the saints. You know, many people will use the term rapture to describe the events that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Now, that word, while it does do a great job kind of describing the events, it's not a word that we can actually find in our scriptures. The scriptures are actually calling it the catching out of the saints, or another term that the Apostle Paul will use to actually describe this event is he refers to it as the day of Christ. And we see the Apostle Paul uses that term in several places in his epistles. And as we're starting to look at this, and this will be a topic that will come up throughout the study of this epistle, we're going to just look at these times that the Apostle Paul is actually referring to the event known as the Day of Christ. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And what we're going to see in each one of these passages where the Apostle Paul is talking about this event, we're going to see that he's going to describe a very important aspect of this event here. And so here we have in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, let's read here verses 7 and 8. It says, "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, here we have the Apostle Paul identifying that the members of the body of Christ are going to be considered blameless in this day. The reason why we're considered blameless in this day is because we are identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we put our trust in the gospel and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, believing in that and that alone for our salvation, the moment this occurred, we were identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this identification, the only thing that we can be described as being when the day of Christ occurs is we are blameless, because there is no sin to our account. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sin so that we could receive his righteousness. And that's an important aspect that we should always keep in mind, because it's a truth that really grounds us and makes sure to identify the fact that, you know, when somebody starts talking about the fact that you could lose your salvation, it's important to know that it's impossible for that, because we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as long as we're here in 1 Corinthians, let's turn over to chapter number 5. And again, we're going to see in this same epistle, the Apostle Paul again is going to make a reference to this event here. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, let's start here, verse number 3. It says, "For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, here we have a description. I don't want to get into too much detail of the doctrine of what the Apostle Paul is saying here when he's talking about things related to the destruction of the flesh. But the aspect of what he's stressing here is the fact that even though the flesh might be destroyed, the spirit is going to be saved on this day. You know, that's the day that we're going to see. We'll see how all this starts tying with the fact of our rewards, our getting the glorified body that's been promised us. All of these various things that are associated with the day of Christ. Now it's going on over here to now 2 Corinthians. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And now we're going to have the third time that the Apostle Paul speaking to this assembly in Corinth and identifying this day of Christ. And here in chapter number 1 of 2 Corinthians, we're going to read here verses 13 and 14. It says, "For we write none other things unto you than that ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus." Again, we see this idea. Now it's the fact that there's going to be rejoicing in this day. You know, the fact is, you know, truly when we think about what the catching out of the saints or the day of Christ actually is, there's going to be nothing but rejoicing at that moment, because it's the our, you know, catching up to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to finally receive those rewards, to be with Him and to rule and reign with Him in the heavenly places for all of eternity. That's why there could be nothing but rejoicing, and the rejoicing that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is the fact that, you know, there's a fact of, you know, the rejoicing of seeing all the fellow believers who are going to be part of this heavenly promise for all of eternity. That's truly a rejoicing moment that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. Let's go over here to Philippians chapter number 1. And again, we're going to see the Apostle Paul talking about this event here. And here in Philippians chapter number 1, we're going to actually see two separate verses in this chapter that are actually going to be making a reference to the day of Christ here. And in Philippians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 6. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now, here we have an aspect talking about the day of Christ that really ties in the eternal security of the believer, because it talks about the fact that the work that's been done in us, the work that was done on the cross of Calvary, and the fact that we put our trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, that work will be performed, and it gives us a time frame until the day of Jesus Christ, until he comes back for us, the guarantee of the fact that what he did on the cross takes care of the issue of sin. That's a guarantee that we have. There's nothing that can take away from what he accomplished. And that's why he can actually say what he does in verse number 10 of the exact same chapter here in Philippians chapter number 1, which says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Now, we can be identified as being sincere and without offense because we are identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God sees us, he no longer sees us. He sees his Son in us, and because he sees his Son in us, sees his righteousness, the only thing that we could be described as being is being sincere and without offense. And that's going to happen until this event occurs. Now, we have one more passage that we're going to look at here that identifies the day of Christ. And I left this one for last because I wanted to go through all these other ones that very clearly are describing the events that most people identify as being the rapture, the catching out of the saints. And I say it this way because the passage that we're going to go to, there's a lot of controversy on what people try to do with this passage because they see the words that it says, know that it has an impact on some other things that they think about this event, and because they see this, they automatically have to start trying to change what the words mean. So let's go over to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Because we're going to see here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 where the Apostle Paul is going to again talk about this same event here. And we're going to start right here at verse number 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this passage, again, starts talking about the fact of the day of Christ being at hand, and the Apostle Paul, in verse 3, says that day, and when he's saying that day, he's talking about the day he just made a reference to in the previous verse, which is the day of Christ, shall not come except, and then he gives a couple of events that have to occur before the day of Christ can actually happen. He identifies a falling away first that has to happen. He identifies the fact that the man of sin has to be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4 describes who this individual is. But the Apostle Paul is saying that these events have to occur before the day of Christ can actually happen. Now, again, we're not going to get into what those things mean. We're going to eventually get into 2 Thessalonians, and when we get to that passage, we're going to talk a lot about what those events actually are. Now, what I do want to say with this is the fact that individuals, because they identify the fact that he is saying this same thing, they'll do, you know, a couple of different things to try to make this passage fit with what they think. One of the first things they'll try to do is say that, you know, well, it shouldn't be the day of Christ here. The proper translation of this verse is that it should be the day of the Lord. So we have to change the text to make it say day of the Lord. Now, when you actually study out and look at the scriptural evidence to see, you know, what's going on with this passage, the scriptural evidence points to the fact that the interpretation and the translation that's here that says that the day of Christ is at hand, that is the proper translation. Those are the words that are there, and it is the day of Christ that's actually being referenced. So, we cannot change it to mean the day of the Lord. Now, another thing that individuals will try to do is say, well, you know, all those other passages, You know, they may be speaking about the day of Christ being the rapture. Or, you know, they'll try to even say that the day of Christ really isn't the rapture until you point out all the other verses that actually say that it's the rapture. And it goes, well, you know what, maybe those passages are actually talking about the rapture. But the Apostle Paul can't possibly mean the rapture in this passage. And because he can't possibly mean the rapture, the day of Christ has to have a different meaning in this passage and this passage alone. So what you would end up with would be two events that are known as the day of Christ. One of them being known as the rapture, that the two passages in 1 Corinthians, the passage in 2 Corinthians, the two passages in Philippians chapter number 1, and we didn't even read the other one in Philippians chapter number 2, verses 15 and 16, which also makes a reference to that day. You know, all of those ones would be talking about the rapture, the catching out of saints, but this passage here in 2 Thessalonians, it can't possibly be it, and so it has to be something else. Now, if you have to do that to try to back up what it is that you're thinking, you've got some problems, because there's nothing that would give you the identification to say that he's making a reference to something else, especially because he's been talking with this local assembly in Thessalonica about the things that are going on related to the catching out of the saints. This is a passage speaking about this. This is something that is truly ties in with the hope of the members of the body of Christ, and ties in with the fact that we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places for all of eternity, and is something that we truly should be looking for us as the members of the body of Christ today. Now, because of the impact of the doctrine of the catching out of the saints, the day of Christ, as the Apostle Paul uses that term, there are a lot of different controversies that come about as a result of this. You know, one of these is the individuals who try to deny that this is even an event that's going to occur. And these are the individuals who would say things of that the, you know, body of Christ doesn't begin until Acts chapter number 28. After the close of the Acts epistle, or Acts, you know, that's when the body of Christ starts. So you have to really discount all of the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote during the time of the book of Acts, which means you would have to discount the book of Romans, the two Corinthian epistles, you would have to discount Galatians, you would have to discount the two Thessalonian epistles, and there's a debate among those who are the, you know, fall into that group of whether the book of Philippians would or would not fall into that category. Now, if we take out all of those books, we see that there's a lot of different things that actually start to be impacted as the members of the body of Christ today. The first thing we very clearly see is that the gospel message is taken out of the way, because the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and individuals are, you know, say that we have to get rid of that book as doctrine for us today. You're getting rid of, you know, the book of Romans, which talks about our justification, our sanctification, all of these different things that talk about who we are as members of the body of Christ. That has to be gone. You know, what we're just talking about right now, the catching out of the saints, because that's found in all these books, and especially if I take the book of Philippians and throw that away as well, it would fall into that category, and we should be getting rid of that. So there's no way that this would be an event that could possibly be for us, the members of the body of Christ tonight. Now, that's a dangerous trap to start falling into, because you think about all of the different things that go away from us as a result of doing that, and how we would really lose the hope that we have. Now, another problem that individuals come up with is they start trying to set dates for when the catching out of the saints is going to occur. And they do that by trying to tie in the prophecy program into the rapture and what would be associated with that. And, you know, that's where you get the individuals who all of a sudden come up with a thing and say, well, you know, on such and such dates, you know, God's going to come back for the church. And then that date comes and goes and nothing happens. And then they turn around and say, well, you know, I miscalculated that. And, you know, now after looking at things, it could possibly be this date. You know, one of the more famous individuals who did that a lot was Harold Camping, who, you know, for years kept pushing the date back. And even when he had written a book in, you know, the very beginning of 1994, when he was claiming that the, you know, catching out of the saints was going to occur in September of 1994. If you actually read that book, he even left himself an out in that book by including things of, well, you know, it could be 94, but, you know, there's some things that point out it could be 2028 or 2032, really, but, you know, 94 is really the best guess of when this is going to happen. You know, it didn't happen, and he continuously set a number of other dates that have come and passed. And what happens with individuals is they start believing it's going to occur. They then go, you know, sell all their possessions because they think they don't have to worry about things. And then, you know, let me quit my job, do all these various different things. And then when it doesn't happen, you know, well, something occurred and now it's overthrowing their faith and they're walking away from everything that they believe. And that's really some of the warning that you see the Apostle Paul, when we're talking about the 2 Thessalonians passage that we had read, that was the warning that he was giving to them, because these individuals were thinking that the event had already happened and that they had missed the catching out of the saints. It was overthrowing their faith. And here it is, the Apostle Paul's having to write to them to talk about the fact of, no, they have not missed the catching out of the saints. Now, one of the last things that occurs is that, because you can actually read through some of the various things and you can get an idea of, you know, when these things are supposed to happen, and individuals will start placing things in, you know, various places, and they'll, you know, and you'll see terms like, you know, the pre-tribulational rapture, the mid-tribulational rapture, the post-tribulational rapture, and then you'll see one that's called the pre-wrath rapture. Now, those four different time frames, and I'm going to give you the thing of the tribulation one. You know, part of that problem is, you know, defining what tribulation actually means, and I'm going to give you a hint. Tribulation does not just mean the 70th week of Daniel, because you can see in Matthew chapter number 24 where the Lord Jesus Christ identifies the fact that not all of that 70th week is actually being identified as being tribulation. And, you know, there's some signs that have to occur to identify the day of the Lord. Those don't occur until even after the midpoint of the 70th week of Daniel. So you have those things, but one of the things that occurs, and we're going to close on this and talk, you know, pick up in our next message talking about this a little bit more, is that what individuals have started to do is using the timing of the catching out of the saints to be a measuring stick over whether you can have fellowship with this individual, and saying that, you know, if somebody doesn't believe the exact same timing as you over when this is going to occur, you have to have nothing to do with them. Now, one of the things that, and then they'll start talking about how it has all this impact and it's a truly a doctrine that causes separation. You know, I've even asked individuals, say, well, you know, does, you know, your belief in the rapture and the time of, does it affect the gospel message at all? And individuals will say, it definitely does. Now, I'm still trying to figure out where in the fact when it talks about that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, you know, where the catching out of the saints actually is in any of that message that talks about our salvation. Because the catching out of the saints has nothing to do with our salvation. You know, if somebody never believes that the catching out of the saints is ever going to happen, they're still going to have their salvation. You know, there might be a disagreement that we might have over some things related to the timing of it, but that still doesn't mean that we should be breaking fellowship over it. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about how he could not say, the head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. Talk about the body of Christ. But yet we, as the members of the body of Christ, start trying to say that we can do those things and start trying to break fellowship with the fellow members of the body of Christ over these things. And when we do those types of things, what happens is individuals look at us, you know, we're already looked at as being, you know, strange individuals to begin with. And then when they start seeing the fighting and the separations that start to occur, you know, that's when they really start trying to label us as a cult, because they say, well, you know, only a cult would try to have a thing where everybody has to have this type of a belief system and you can't deviate from it in any sort of manner. Now, like I said, we're going to pick up with a further discussion of that when we start our next message next week. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live on Facebook. You can also join our Wednesday night Bible study through a call-in option. The information through that is on our website as well. And, you know, we will be having our, you know, conference events the first weekend of October. The information should be up on the website related to this, hopefully by Friday of this week. So hopefully by the 25th of August, that information will actually be on our website. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, you know, feel free to contact us. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.